ever conducted by Taryn Jones on November 14th, 2006. Why did you really decide to enter the military?
Well, I had had some previous experience mm-hmm. with military people, male and female. From the time I almost finished training until I joined, living in, working with DVA patients, and then living in Europe and working with the NATO base. And when I came back from there, when I joined the reserve.
Okay. And so that was in the 50s?
In the 50s.
Okay. Well, did you have much of a family background in the military?
No, none.
Okay, so this is solely your own decision then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What did your family and friends think of you joining?
I don't think it was any problem. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't hear any discussion. Maybe I'm an only child, so it didn't really matter, I don't think, what it did.
Did you know a lot of women who were in the military?
Yes, yes. A lot of the old nursing sisters who came back from the Second World War, I worked with in the DVA hospital.
Okay.
And then I met a lot of them in Europe.
Okay.
NATO bases. And I'm still friends with them.
Right. So you were a nurse then?
Yes.
So what did your job really entail?
Well, my whole field was psychiatric mental health,
mm-hmm.
but working in Marville in France, it was just general duty.
Okay.
And then at the DVA hospital, I worked in the neurological
mm-hmm. okay.
psychiatric field.
And with the psychiatric ward then, as you were saying earlier, that was with a lot of the veterans from the Second World War?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What sort of things did you see? What sort of problems were there?
A long time ago. I guess this post-traumatic syndrome that they talk about now was not diagnosed then.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly it was very obvious because even some of the patients on the ward would commit suicide.
Okay.
Or have, be on heavy medications and be in hospital for a long time.
What kind of training did you have to deal with these situations?
The basic nursing in a Catholic hospital. Then I took a postgraduate in Pinoca, Alberta. Their large mental hospital was 9 months. And then I went to McGill and got my diploma in teaching supervision, and then I went back and got my degree.
Okay. Did you feel that the training, that there was enough training for you, that you were properly prepared for it?
certainly not your basic training. In the 40s, there wasn't even a textbook for nursing,
mm-hmm.
psychiatric and mental ill patients. So you had to go to the medical texts. And that's what piqued my interest in psych mental health. How could they possibly not have anything for nursing?
Right.
I can remember looking after a patient in training and saying to the doctor, what am I supposed to do? What's my role?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was, just keep the patient from killing themselves or from killing anybody else. And that's awful. It was like a jailer.
Wow. So I guess there was a lot of learning as you went along then.
Yes. And that's why my interest was mm-hmm. Formed and why I took
right.
specialties.
in your time in the services and in the psychiatric nursing, did you find that things did change?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. It moved very quickly. Okay. It moved very quickly. It did.
Were you responsible for teaching anyone?
Yes. I was teaching in the Allen Memorial Institute in Montreal, which is attached to McGill.
Okay.
And, but I think you were always teaching. You know, as you were older.
Right. Right. Do you remember what you were paid? It seems like you had quite a responsibility.
God, I don't remember. It was certainly enough to live on then, but I don't remember. Really.
Do you know if there were any men who held comparable positions to yours?
No, not at that time.
Okay.
There were very few males in the nursing profession at that time. It was only in about the 70s that males finally got in there and started going.
Were there any female doctors at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how well respected they were within the profession?
It took a while. It took a while. I think they had to kind of prove themselves. And of course, there was more of them in large centers.
Right.
I don't remember any of them in the services.
Okay. So, do you remember if there were any opportunities for career advancement or promotion?
In the service?
In the services.
No. Well, your career advancement, a lot of it had to do with your years in the service.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when people retired, it was the movement
mm-hmm.
up. And I guess you were chosen or because of your abilities.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what processes they used or what criteria they used?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Only... as I say, the years' experiences, and maybe your educational background, or your specialties.
Right. Right. You were saying to me earlier that you were offered a promotion. I think you
yes,
left.
Yes. I was offered a promotion to stay in the
okay.
reserve.
Okay.
And at that time, I didn't take it. I got out.
Right. Was there any reason for that?
Yeah, I was going with one of the guys in the service
okay.
and I finally married.
Right.
So you can't, it was a little difficult thing.
Right. Now, since you did marry, were you thinking of getting married when you were still in the services?
About a year before I,
okay.
or maybe 6 months before okay. I got out.
Did you know a lot of women who were getting married in the services?
Well, not married as much, but they were all, we were so few women that
mm-hmm.
we went out a lot with the guys, but I don't remember many of them getting married. A lot of them never got married.
Do you feel that was because they were in services? Or
I don't know. I think it's a choice that people have to make.
Right.
I know living in or working in the DVA hospital in Toronto, and we lived in residence, and because of my field of expertise, there were a lot of lesbian relationships,
mm-hmm.
but this was, they weren't out of the closet yet, and they weren't talking about
mm-hmm.
it. So, it was just not, you just didn't talk about it. It was with males and females. I mean, I could maybe see their relationships where others wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. So it was something that some people knew about.
Yes.
But
yeah, and it was all kept under the table. Yeah.
Right. Now, you were mentioning that you lived in residence. I was
yeah.
talking to someone else yesterday, and she said that a lot of the nurses had fairly strict regulations placed upon them, upon their behavior, what they could and could not do. Did you find that at all?
In residences, in training,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay.
When you were in training, But I went in training in 46. A lot of the people from the services were just coming out, you know, the hospice services. So that the hospitals were really quite full because they were trying to update their diplomas.
Right.
And when I got to Edmonton to go into the general hospital, and this was a Catholic hospital, they just didn't have enough room for our class.
Okay.
So eight of us lived in a private home about two houses away from the hospital.
This was very crowded.
And it was. One bathroom for eight of us, and the family downstairs used it. But I was mentioning the other day that for the first year we took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. There was nobody that said, come, go, do this, do that. And then we all started getting ill. Mm-hmm. So the second year we all pulled back a great deal.
Right.
And then the third year kind of leveled off a bit.
What sort of illnesses were you getting?
Pardon?
What sort of illnesses were you getting?
My mainly colds.
Oh, okay.
And pneumonia. And I think one girl got TB. And,
that must have spread quickly if you were
yes, because I think you wore yourself down, mm-hmm. your body. And
yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to stop it for a second. So do you know, so was it just the nurses that were living in such close quarters, or did anyone else?
No, there were just the nurses in this one home, mm-hmm. in training.
Mm-hmm.
In the services, you had blocks,
right.
And there were females in that block. They might not have been nurses, but they could be secretaries or female personnel, anyway.
And you did you know your roommates before you moved in with them?
Oh, good Lord, no.
No,
we were from all over the country.
How did you get along with them?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. There was just eight of us, and we're still very close. Mm-hmm. There's just one that has died.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear that you're still in contact.
Oh, yeah. All these number of years.
Right. Do you know if any of them ever married or had children
mm-hmm.
during their time in the forces?
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the forces. I think quite a few of them got married, and if they got married, they had kids. At that time, there was no birth control, and a lot of my classmates in training certainly got married.
Yeah. Do you know, did the military regard them any differently once they became married women?
Oh, they didn't. When they were married, they got out of the service.
Okay.
It was one of the ways you could get out of the service
okay.
if you got married.
Okay.
This happened a lot in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Just at the end of the First World War, if the girls didn't like the service,
mm-hmm.
or if they found somebody they really loved,
mm-hmm.
They would get married, and then immediately they would get their discharge.
Okay.
You were not allowed to stay in. You are now, but mm-hmm. you weren't there.
Do you think a lot of people got married quicker than they might otherwise have in order to get a discharge?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, because you were in the medical services, I've read in a couple of sources that they were constantly understaffed. Did you find this at all?
Well, this is why in the NATO bases, they picked up anybody they could. Like, I went over to Europe on a holiday, my girlfriend and I, and we were there one day at her brother's place, and the matron descended on us, and she had to staff four units, two in Germany and two in France. And she said, I've got places for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we're here for a holiday. She said, well, when do you want to start to work? Well, we said, how about 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
She said, fine, I'll keep spaces for you and you'll both be in the same hospital. It was wonderful. So we had our holiday and then went back to work. Could pay for it.
Right. No, if that was the case and they were just picking up people because they were desperate to fill the spots. Did a lot of the training of the girls, did it vary?
Well, training, you mean once you got to work?
Or that they had before?
That they had, no, they were all registered nurses.
Okay.
Whether they were from England, Scotland, Canada, anywhere.
Right.
Now, I don't know about the American hospitals, but this was the case in the Canadian, those four units all were staffed was mainly civilian nurses. We had very few active nurses, maybe one on each shift.
Okay. And once they were hired, did they have to undergo a lot of additional training?
No.
Okay.
No, you just learn on the job.
Right. Now, because of the time you served, you might not have experienced this, but do you know if the admission and treatment procedures for someone who is the enemy would have been different than it would have been for a Canadian soldier?
There were no enemies, if you want to call them, on our base.
Okay.
It was NATO, and it was a Canadian base. Mm-hmm. There were American bases, and England was so close, mm-hmm. I guess many there. So we didn't really have anybody there except Canadians,
okay.
whether they were their wives or their husbands, because it was open for women to have children there too.
Okay.
We looked after the family.
Right. So how many of them were married, the servicemen? Did you have a lot of families coming?
Oh, yes, there were a lot of families.
Okay.
Yes, there was PMW quarters.
Okay.
For them.
And PMW stands for?
Private Married Quarters.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi.
It was bilingualism. It probably was never an issue in the Canadian base, was
okay.
it? Bilingualism?
Bilingualism. Well, living in France, there was a tremendous number of people from France
mm-hmm.
who worked on the base,
right.
whether they were cleaners or cooks or
mm-hmm.
whatever they were. But a lot of Canadians spoke enough French to get along.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they learned English, too. The French people learned English.
Yeah. Did you ever have to take any courses?
In French?
In French.
No, I did in school, but I also worked in Montreal, so I knew a bit of pepper.
Right.
Enough to get along.
Must have carried you well, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you enlisted in 53, is that correct?
No, I didn't enlist in 53. I went to... You wouldn't hang on that.
Okay.
Did I see that right? And I left in 60. That's not right. When did you enlist? I got out 61. That doesn't make sense. Turn that on.
Okay. You had said that you were in Marville in France, and
mm-hmm.
then that you were also in Toronto. Did you find that the hospital was very different, that the procedures were very different? Was there a lot to learn?
Well, in Marville, France, it was an actual hospital.
Mm-hmm.
In the reserve in Toronto and in Montreal, you were the nursing sister, and it was mainly checking out the pilots.
Okay.
To see that they had their medicals all updated. And you only worked 2 evenings a week.
Okay.
Now, saying that, I was in Montreal, I did work on the weekends at St. Hubert's,
mm-hmm.
which was an air base just outside Montreal. And you would work there on the weekends, maybe twice a month.
Okay.
Because there was only one nursing sister there at the time, and she had to have time off.
Right.
So they would get some of us to help.
Right. So what sort of things did you look for?
And it was, at that time, St. Hubert's was it was a drop-in center, that if anybody was ill, they could come. Lots of times it was, certainly in France, in Marville, and in St. Hubert's, I remember a lot of the boys came in because they were having discharges, and it was usually gonorrhea or syphilis or something like that. But they would come in with colds, or if there were a crash, then they would come in, and you'd have to organize to get them out to a bigger center of care.
Was there a lot of concern surrounding STDs at the time?
What is that?
Was there a lot of concern surrounding sexually transmitted diseases?
There certainly was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, it was pretty rampant in Europe because we were very close to Luxembourg, and there was a lot of prostitution
mm-hmm.
going on. That's how a lot of people made their money, I guess, then too. But it was always there, right. Males and females.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
There wasn't as much protection mm-hmm. as there is now.
Right.
It was known.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what happened.
Right. I've read that there were some kind of poster campaigns and things like that going around warning against
mm-hmm.
Venereal diseases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I know that certainly it was one of the things that you had to say to the pilots when they were going in for their medicals that they had to have a urine sample. That was mandatory. And I guess at that time they tested them too.
Right. Now, did you find, well, you were saying that if you married, then you got your discharge. Did you find a lot of women were having affairs? They still wanted to nurse, but...
Oh, yes.
Didn't
yes,
want it?
Surely.
Okay.
Oh, yes. And certainly more than one partner. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there were so many males, racial, male to female.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Was that something that happened and no one talked about it, or was it?
Well, I guess you talked about it kind of fun over a beer or something. But relationships were, you see, the base in France, which I know best of all, because I lived there even though I was a civilian, had female personnel
mm-hmm.
on the base that didn't live in our unit
okay.
and didn't live in our hut.
Mm-hmm.
So that there were a lot more females there
mm-hmm.
than I suppose there are all over, but not necessarily.
Again, I was talking to someone yesterday, and she said, again, like with the nurses, if you're found doing something that nurses didn't do, then there would be some sort of punishment. Do you
punishment?
Find that?
No. Part of the thing you have to remember was that I was a civilian,
mm-hmm.
so why could they punish me except fire me?
Okay.
Now, I think they maybe could talk or do something mm-hmm. to people who were in the service.
Right.
But in Europe, much more sexually free
right.
than the North American continent,
mm-hmm.
so a lot of things were lax.
Okay.
I know that the senior medical officer was very concerned about one prostitute house in Luxembourg and finally went out and sort of told the boys that they were not to use this particular house.
Was that because of disease?
Disease, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was a lot of syphilis and gonorrhea coming in. Guys would use their facilities, mm-hmm. I guess.
Do you think the men listened?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Same ones be coming back.
What would happen to a man who had a VD?
Oh, they were usually given medication
mm-hmm.
and I suppose a bit of a talking to. I don't know. I wasn't in the room when that happened.
I guess the doctors would have told
oh, yes.
that.
Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that most of the doctors were male. And all yep. the nursing staff was female.
And all the nurses were female.
Okay.
And you know, even the doctors, they didn't have enough medical doctors in the Canadian Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So they employed them from England, Scotland.
Okay.
They were civilians just like us.
Mm-hmm. If a woman had wanted to become a doctor, could she have? If
in the service?
In the service.
I have no idea.
Okay. In civilian life, could she?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She just went on to university.
Right.
And someone did.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice many differences between civilian life and Army life?
Oh, yes. Much more regimentation.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I trained in a Catholic hospital where there was a lot of regimentation, it was the same in the military.
Okay.
And that's not bad, because And DVA hospital, too, there was much more regimentation than in a civilian hospital.
How big was the DVA hospital?
The DVA hospital was a couple thousand beds.
Okay. Quite big.
In Toronto. Oh, yeah, it was a big one. And a lot of the places in Canada were the one you had in Victoria here. Mm-hmm. Was the big one.
Now, when you were working at the DVA hospital, do you remember, did you have sort of a set daily routine? What sort of things did you do?
A daily routine with regards to work?
Yes.
Well, remember, I was a psychiatric unit.
Right.
You worked the three shifts.
Okay.
You know, there was always paperwork. Spending time with the patients, talking more than you would doing things for them, getting them to do things for themselves.
Okay.
Which is different than if people are in bed mm-hmm. all the time. You know, we always had some in bed, but there was a lot of patients were depressed, mm-hmm. so it was working on their depressions or their aggressiveness or whatnot, trying to bring that out in a more acceptable form.
Right. Was there any occupational therapy?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, a lot.
What sort of things did that
well,
do?
There was an occupational therapy therapist.
Right.
And so we didn't get too involved in that. We just didn't make sure that they went and did whatever they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Take them out for walks or getting them playing sports, mm-hmm. things like that.
Did you find that it helped them
from
your observations?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Any form of contact with humans. I mean, if you saw someone sitting by themselves, mm-hmm. that's when you tried to bring them into the group.
Right. So that was in the 60s?
In the 60s, yeah.
Okay.
In the 60s, in the 50s, 50s, 60s.
Yeah. Okay. That's trying to situate mm-hmm. and clarify. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you have, it was just World War II veterans at the time, but then did you have any Korean veterans later on?
No, because I was out by then.
Okay. Yeah. Did you notice many, you had said earlier that things did get better with regards to the psychiatric patients' treatment?
Oh, yes. Now, I don't know whether that followed through with the services, but I'm sure it would have. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would have. In the late 60s, early 70s, then I was doing my education and working in a psychiatric facility. Out of the military by that time, but I'm sure that there was offshoots into the military. Medications became very popular then, mm-hmm. and so I'm sure the Army surplus used those.
Right. Yeah. Also, you were saying earlier that the doctor had originally told you to stop the patient from killing himself or other people. Did you have any equipment to help you? Or
the equipment in the not really, but you were taught how to protect yourself mm-hmm. and how to protect the patient from hurting himself.
Right.
And that stood me in good stead for all my life. But there was also various treatments. There was water therapy and there was insulin therapy and electric shock and medications and which you didn't really have.
Right. The training then?
The training
beneficial.
Progressed with the technology.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. You found it fairly beneficial then, you were saying? The training?
The training, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But you learned a lot on the job, too.
Right.
And you had to keep up with the whatever was coming out in the modern equipment. The Allen Memorial was an interesting place because it was mainly research. Mm-hmm. And teaching.
Okay.
And then the offshoot was patient care. But you learned a lot.
Yeah.
And you were participating in a lot of the sleep therapies.
Okay. when you originally signed up to be a nurse, when the matron sort of accosted you in Europe, was it what you thought it would be, or?
I had no idea. I'd never had anything to do with it. Well, other than working in the DVA hospital, mm-hmm. knowing that there was St. Thomas that mm-hmm. I didn't I didn't really think I was going to stay there for a year and a half or so. But, yes, I can remember when we first hit the base and we went to the hospital to see the matron, and she introduced us to the staff, and the first thing one of the nurses said to both of us, "Do you play ball?" And I thought, God, do we have to play ball to nurse here? So I said, yes. Well, what position? And the hospital staff, the nursing staff, were having a game against the pilots that night, and they were looking for participants. So it was a very casual, laid-back affair. Unless there was an accident, and then everybody, the matron, gave you orders, and you went ahead and did it.
So you got to know the girls pretty well then?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we all lived in the same residence. Right. And if we wanted to change shift, we just went to the matron and said, could we change shifts? We all did the same thing.
Yes.
Because it was only about a 30-35 bed hospital.
Now, I was talking to one of the ladies yesterday, and she said,